Hello and welcome to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. I am your host, Thomas Sanglero, Cognizant's Nordic CTIO, and welcome to the podcast, by leaders, for leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an exciting moment. We have another fantastic guest on the show today, and it's really important that you pay a lot of attention because well, she's special. She has a perspective and has experienced things that all of us can learn from. So with that build up, let's introduce her. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to the podcast the Managing Director of SAP Nordic and the Baltic region, Hella Dakadal. Hella, how badly did I brutalize your last name?
Well, badly, I would say. but it goes.
But, okay, so all the Danes out there, they're probably really upset with me. Would you please pronounce your name correctly?
Yeah, so my name is Hella Dakadal. That's how easy it is.
For everybody but me. Hella, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hella, you know, on this podcast, it was really exciting is that we like to talk to great leaders like you because you have to get to where you are. And by the way, congratulations.
It's
taken a lot of work, I'm sure.
Yes.
But along the way, you've experienced so many things. And then came COVID, right? And now we're coming out of COVID. And I just want an opening question I have to ask you. And I'm sure, you know, I talk to other leaders all over the world, and being a leader today and all the experience you have, you've built, how has that helped you now coming out of COVID? Can you think the same way you did before, or have you had to make an adjustment? Can you share that perspective? Go for it, Hella.
Yeah, for sure I can. So I think the perspective is, you know, how do you do leadership and get people with you and as well in business virtual? And how do you for the future mix up the virtual with the real life? And I think that's where we all have to learn and have other senses there to be able to do some of it virtual, because that's the world from now on as well. I don't think it will disappear totally.
Exactly. And also virtual is real life for a lot of people now, right? Because you said and real life, and some people just want to live in the virtual, right?
Yeah. And it is a challenge because you are 1D and not 3D when you are virtual and you cannot touch people and you can't, smell them either. You know, that's really the challenge. We all have
It helped with the wardrobe. I didn't have to buy so many clothes and go to the cleaner so much.
Well, maybe not for the trousers, but at least for the shirts, we had to because we had cameras on. So that's what it is. Yeah.
Hella, you're being sincere. What were some of the challenges? I'm sorry, let's do future, because that's what people want to know. Today, you know, that let's go directly talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Companies have work from home policies. They have work from office policies. They're trying to manage and figure out, should I bring them back 2-3 days a week? Should I just force them back? Should I just give them the openness of the office? Why don't you explain, by the way, how in SAP, how have you as the leader, right, of the Nordics and Baltics, how are you looking at it? How are you going about this? And has it worked? Has it not worked? Are you experimenting? Just elaborate, please.
Yeah. So first of all, as we are in a part of a global company, there are global rules. And there we have something called Fledge to Pledge. And that means that we want to keep it flexible for the individual. So we're not giving total free possibilities, and we don't make any fix on a global level. It's all to do, how do we have to engage with our customers? So that's sort of the main overall. And then I think it's been quite experienced after summer vacation. I'm a Dane myself, so I live in Denmark. And by definition, the pandemic has disappeared there now by the government. Mm-hmm. So we can go into office. And it's been a fantastic experience to see that between 80 and 90% are back. So they're queuing up in the canteen, people are hugging and all what we did before. And then you have the few, let's say the 20% that doesn't come in. And that is where we have to find out the why. And today I'm actually sitting in Sweden and there we don't have anybody in nearly. It's not even 10% that are in today. And it's all to do, I think, with the total, you know, what's happening in the country. So for me, it's always looking at the culture in the country as well. And then I could go to the others. So so I'm learning in Denmark, you can say, because it's a bit ahead. But maybe we have discussed it today with a colleague. Maybe the Danes just are a little bit more loose or whatever. But for me, it's important to get the last 20% back and as well ensuring that the 80% that actually is in the office, that they get the right life balance as well in the future, that they maybe should be more at home as well. And that's new for all of us, I guess.
Wow. You're a leader who's actually saying don't come to the office and to use the time that you had in COVID to reflect and say, hey, there's some value there in that quality of life. That's powerful.
Yeah, I believe in it because I think, you know, it's all to do that, you know, you have to perform. And how do you perform best? Of course, you always have to look at the role you have and how you engage in the right way. I don't say best way because there's no best way. It's the right way always, depending on who you have on the other side as well.
What do you mean by who you have on the other side? What does that mean?
So the customer, for example, or, you know, who are you engaging with? Do you need to be on, you know, on site or can some of it be not on site? What is giving the best performance in a sense and proactively decide when to use what? I think that should be our future way of working, you know, proactively decide when to do what, virtual or not. Because, for example, if you look at the whole CSR agenda again, the CO2 footprint, should I go always to for a meeting with a customer if it's a one-hour meeting? You know, then it's depending on maybe of the type of meeting. The same goes with our employees. When is it that it's really needed? I am together with them, and when is it not? So the nice and need, and it's super difficult to define when and what, but I think we have to think into that. Because of the CO2 footprint as well, you know, should I always go to a place in the other countries in Nordics, you know?
Wow, you are touching on so many important topics. I want to touch on the one with Sweden, and then I want to go back to CSR because these you're just dropping bombshells of wonderful of knowledge. It's really important, and everybody out there, I'm sure they got the same questions as me. And so the hanging in the room is. As a leader, a Nordic leader, or a leader of several countries, how do you balance the dichotomy, the difference between the culture of Denmark, where people, you said 80, 90% are back, and then Sweden, 80, 90% are not there? As a leader, how do you balance that? And just before you answer that, do you use this amazing perspective that you've been sharing with us now, how you see each individual uniquely? And with that philosophy and that management and leadership style, that's how you solve it. Am I correct in how you look at it? Please.
Yes, I think you are because, you know, I'm a purpose and passion driven leader. And therefore, I look at the individual. You can't fit everything onto one person, but you have to as well look at what is the role the person have. What is the culture you are within? What is the framework the person has to work within? And what is it the person has to perform within? And then together with the individual to find out what is, you know, best to perform towards our customers, because that, of course, is important. So you're right. That is, for me, one size do not fit everybody at all. And therefore, you have to jump into the cultures.
I'm sorry,
So just to add to it is that you always have to jump into the cultures because one thing is the person, but things differs as well, culture to culture. Absolutely. Even we think we are the same in the Nordics, which we are not.
Absolutely. it's true. Beautifully, extremely well said. And it's not that I'm right, it's you're right. That's what I want to say. I was just repeating what you said. And I think that's valuable. Now to give it perspective, Helle, because some people out there, may say, they might think, they may not know SAP, and they may think that you're a small company. So what size, how many people do you have in Denmark? How many people do you have in Sweden? And how many people do you have total in the Nordics and Baltics? Because once you answer that question, that will give a perspective to everybody saying, wow, she actually has this perspective with that many people. So go ahead, just drop a bombshell. How many people are you talking about that you see your organization from a unique individual perspective? Go for it.
Well, I don't see everybody myself, but I have around 800 people in the Nordics. And in Denmark, there's around around 170 people. So that's give you a perspective. And then it becomes smaller in some of the other countries. We have very few in the Baltics. So the rest is in the other three Nordic countries, most of them.
And my point is that you're not a person running an office of like 20, 30 people. I mean, you're running an office of a couple of hundred people.
Yeah. The whole is 800 for me, you know. So I'm in all the offices in the Nordics is my office, you can say.
Exactly. Now, the other one that I want to go after, you gave me so much to talk about. CSR is incredibly important, right? We're talking about sustainability. We're talking about giving back. From a corporate perspective, and I know when before we went live on air, you were talking about how much how your heart, your soul is into CSR. Can you share that from a leader, right? You're authentic about it. Just give us some stories about it. Why are you so passionate? Why is this really a part of who you are, Hella, and how that drives you?
Yeah, and I've been so blessed that I can outlive it in the company I'm in because the purpose of SAP is to help the world run better and improve people's life. And the last part is for me, CSR and improve people's lives is everybody. It is an employee here in Sweden where I sit today. How can I help that person for the passion and purpose that person have? For example, maybe want to be home 1 hour before. Others might be that they can buy an extra car. So whatever it is so key for me. And when it comes to CSR, me myself, I think it's so great when a company can give back. I don't know how many of you actually know that October is giving month. And you might say, what is giving month? Mm-hmm. It is really to give back something or support somebody or help somebody. And that is important for my company at SAP that we do that at a global level. So I was, before I had the managing director job, I actually had a job in what we call EMEA South. That month was a lot of giving back, all from doing boxes, shoe boxes, and giving them to the areas around Johannesburg and places like that, being in India and so on. But that is CSR. Is one part is that, but it's all the way. For example, to look at now when we have had refugees in the past in Syria and these places, SAP went and did Code for Africa, Code for Refugees. And now I said my company names, but it was not the company. It was individuals at SAP, colleagues and employees that stood up and said, I want to do this.
What did they do exactly?
So they had a week's training they gave to especially the females or the girls in the refugee camps, learning them how to code, you know, programs. So they were able to somehow get small jobs afterwards and as well get some confidence that they could do something. And
even more important, it's, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's nearly 1 million we have done that way.
1 million people?
Especially young people, yeah.
Wow.
And that for me is CSR when it really gets to a strong context. And we let what I've done myself as well. I've been in India for months, some years ago, where I supported a school in the slums to learn how to get better fundraising. So it's all about scalability. So it's not going out reading books because that disappears when I go back. But it's about doing something that can scale when you go and to more than one person. And that's sort of a philosophy I take with me since I was in India. Whatever I do of CSR myself at my job or myself, individual or as a leader, it has to be something that scales. So I just always use that example about reading a book for another person doesn't scale. It's a little bit like the expression you have to teach how to fish and not give people fish.
Exactly.
That sort of thing. for me.
Wow. So that was that. I love it because CSR, and we didn't define, so CSR is corporate social responsibility. If people are wondering what we're talking about, what you're really saying is that CSR actually is something that grows the organization.
Yeah.
A lot of companies do CSR because their marketing team says we need to have something CSR, something on our website, but it's not part of their culture. Is CSR part of the SAP culture? How did it get there? And how did it get so intimate? How did it get so powerful and intertwined with you? Because it sounds like if I gave you an airplane ticket, you would go back to India.
Yeah, for sure I would. Especially this month, because that was when I was there, because it's 7 months to do so. But yeah, I would. So I think it's back to our purpose when that was defined, 12 years ago. So that was when it became very clear what it is we stand for. And as a leader, when you start really doing purpose and passion during leadership style, you know that is what it's all about, because CSR is, yeah, maybe it's a too broad when I say it's for everybody, but it is, you know, it's a part of everything and thinking that way. And if you look at it, lots of corporates have to think that way, because if you look at it, the young ones only want to buy work and buy for those that really outlive purposes. And you have to get there then, you know, somehow, I think.
And you just touched on another really important thing. When you say young ones, what you trigger in me is the young employees.
Yes.
They are different, right?
Yeah.
They think different. They're... ethics, responsibility, the way they see the world, it is totally different. And they're coming in and CSR is, you better have CSR. a company has to have a whole bunch of things. As a leader, how do you manage this? And I call them wonderful. I love the millennials and the power and the change that they're bringing. How do you manage that as a leader? That force, that is the future, because we can't stop it, right? The numbers, eventually we're going to get too old and they're going to take over. How do you manage that cultural shift? And now we're leading into the area of innovation, because this is culture and innovation. In your experience, how do you manage this powerful group of amazing young people in your organization?
It's super difficult. That's my first answer to it.
You're honest, yes.
But it's, you know, it's all about thinking in diversity and inclusiveness and openness, trust, transparency for me, listening to them, being humble towards what they come with, and then challenge them and coach them, and in the sense of what makes sense, not what I did, but who cares what I did? It doesn't work in today's world. But it's just saying, if it doesn't make sense what you're trying to tell me, dear young, then it might not make sense for anybody else. So you have to think that way. So that is sort of the way. So be at their level, go in eye height with them, talk to them, be humble to their, you know, youth and what they do, and challenge, coach, challenge. That's all what you can do, and then bring it together that way. Get the respect both ways.
I think what you're saying is great, but it's really hard. So again, I'm addressing the elephant in the room. A lot of people, a lot of us who, you know, have made it to higher up on the pyramid or whatever, what we love telling young people is, you know where I've done. Do you know how many years or decades I've been doing this? That's sort of like the default thing you tell a graduate who's in your graduate program in your company. How do you prevent that from being, go ahead, cut me off, because I see this all the time and it frustrates me. Go.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. How I prevent that? It is to not saying that, because it's not what it is. You know, if you go into innovation and you go into, look at what has happened now with the new business models, new ways of doing things through the COVID, that has actually accelerated. And that's not done by what I learned the last many years. It's done on the world of today. And that's how you, if you have that mindset as a leader, that's how I at least approach the younger generation, being very humble to that and go on with the innovation that they come up with. And that is within whatever you do of culture, how you do things, how you organize the offices, which I think we didn't touch on it, but which as well I think will change after the COVID. All these things, really humble and listen to them, you know. yeah, maybe that was, sorry if I didn't answer totally what you wanted to ask for.
No, I'm still in awe of your answer, because again, here you are, managing director of SAP Nordic Baltic. I mean, you're at the top of the pyramid, and you're saying, and not just saying, you're instilling a culture in your company, telling your employees, be humble to our new employees, our young graduates, our millennials, and listen to them. That's powerful, Helle. That is true leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Helle, I think we're going to end on that powerful note, because that's going to leave a lot. I mean, everyone listening is going to reflect on that, right? Yeah. It's not about your past as a leader, as a boss or whatever. It's about the here and now. You said that beautifully, the right now. We haven't, you know, coming out of COVID, nobody in the world has ever been in this situation before. It's all about the here and now. It's not about the last 10, 20 years. And all the things you shared about corporate social responsibility, how it helps your organization to grow, absolutely beautiful. Helle, this has been fantastic. Do you want to drop any more beautiful bombshells to all the listeners listening out there?
I'll just say thank you for being able to share with you my passion and purpose, because I think it's all back to your own passion and purpose, finding that is what should drive you.
You know, I was asked yesterday by one of our graduates, he came up to me and asked me these big life questions, and I was honored that he would ask me. And I have to ask you one question he asked me. He goes, how did you find your passion and purpose? I know what I told him. I want to hear, how would you answer that question?
How did I find it? I think suddenly one day I felt it in my stomach, and then you know. And it was by being myself and being authentic in whatever I do, then it comes. And when I did a lot of CSR work, and yes, I have kids, you know, they have grown up today, get grown up salaries. You know, then you understand if you want to reflect on them and give them a great life, that is what you should do as a leader for anybody. I think that's maybe how I got my passion and purpose for myself.
Helle. So let me get through the last name butchering one more time. Helle Dokkedal. Oh my God.
Wow, nearly there.
Helle, from the bottom of my heart, and for everybody out there listening, thank you so much for being so open and sharing stories about leadership, sharing stories about passion, culture, innovation, everything. And really, I clap for you. Helle, thank you so much.
Welcome.
Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in, spending this wonderful time. This podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you can, your mobile phone and your PC goes. To everyone, to Helle, to the world, take care and talk to you all real soon. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Cognizant Leadership and Innovation Podcast. At Cognizant, we help our clients modernize technology, reimagine processes, and transform experiences so they can stay ahead in our fast-changing world. Together, we're improving everyday life. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere.